Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from SDPB's Black Hills studios, and it is the South Dakota Festival of Books, which is kind of taking place today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and today is a lot of the Young Readers Festival here in Rapid City, where authors are traveling to classrooms and engaging with all kinds of students. And tomorrow in Deadwood, the entire city of Deadwood will be almost taken over by readers and writers and book lovers. Sitting across from the table now, Don Montalo, who is the 2019 Young Readers One Book South Dakota author. And I have to say, Don, it was just such a thrill when this was announced. So many people were, because the Young Readers book is gonna go to, they make a special printing,
right,
and they give it to every third grader.
Well, we give it to every second grader last okay. year. And there was 10,000 of them.
Wow.
Given away.
Yeah.
Free.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's really remarkable about this book is that you cannot purchase this book. Mm-hmm. They only give it to the second graders. So there are so many people that come to me and they say, where can I buy this book? And I'm going to say, go back to second grade.
Find a second grader that you like and hang out with them and read it with them.
Yeah.
It's three books in one, and that's sort of the reason why it's not available in a regular bookstore. You can buy the individual hardcover picture books, which I think a lot of people know and love in the state of South Dakota. This edition puts everything into really a backpack size paperback.
Yeah. Lovely, and I think that's why we wanted to do it too, is because it would be put in a backpack for the children themselves, you know. So.
Going to take a beating.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope it's all beat up and read thousands of times, you know. So
right. This is exceptional as well. I think it's the first young book for readers that also is in Lakota.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about providing English and Lakota in the stories for all kids, and really how powerful that can be.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what made it unique, is that it was in English and Lakota both. And I really had a hard time finding somebody who was fluent and wrote Lakota in South Dakota. And I found Agnes Gay. She was the assistant archivist at the Oglala Lakota College at Kyle. And she's just a tremendous lady. She's nice and quiet and shy, and unlike I am. Loud and bold, but she really is the one that made it exceptionally different from anything else that you read on the bookshelves.
Yeah.
What we've done is wherever I try to present the book to the second graders last year and now the third graders during the book festival, is I try to find a Lakota person who can read with me. So I read the English part and they read the Lakota part. Yeah. And it just gives the whole book just a certain zing. It just adds an element that you don't find any other place.
You are an author and an artist. These illustrations are all yours, correct?
Yes.
In these books.
Yeah, they all are.
How did you get started as an illustrator? And as an art, do you see those as two different words, illustrated and, what's that?
Hunger.
Hunger? Hunger and talent coming together.
You know, I had a unique opportunity because the South Dakota Historical Society, they're the ones that published this book as well as my other books. Yeah. And they were looking for illustrators, and I happened to be at the right place at the right time, which so many of us artists are. And they actually wanted to pay you, so that was even better.
Important.
And the first book that I did was Tatanka, and I didn't write that book. It's a traditional story written by a lot of Lakota elders. And I was asked to do the pictures for it and for a film loop. That's how it originally started out, was a film loop for the museum. But there was such a demand for the written script that they decided to do a book.
Really?
And that's why then they had to go back to the Lakota translators and find them, and some had passed away, so they had another difficulty trying to condense that large story of how we evolved from Mother Earth up to the surface. And they wanted it very simple. It was really cool. because they said, we want these drawings real simple, but you can only use four colors. I thought, what do you mean? Well, out of four colors, I can make the whole palette, you
know.
So. But they thought they was limiting me, but they didn't.
They were not.
But very simple. They had some very stringent rules on how they wanted it, what size they wanted it. And I fulfilled them. And then I asked them one day, I says, you know, how much do I get for doing illustrations? And they said, well, you get a nickel on a dollar. I thought, wow. And I said, well, how about if I illustrated it and wrote it, how much would I get? And they said a quarter on a dollar. And I thought, that's good math to me, so that's what I did.
And now I'm a writer.
Now I'm a writer, and and it was really crazy because I have a hard time being an artist all my life. Yeah. And now the last probably 8 years becoming an author as well, too. So.
This is a combination of, there's a lot of things converging here, oral history, story, culture, a physical book that kids can take home, kids who might not have a book in their house. I'm wondering, from your childhood, what was the role of books, physical books, versus oral history versus stories?
Well, I grew up in the 50s, so we didn't have a television.
Right.
And we didn't have no cell phones. Right. You know, we had books that we actually read, you know. But the one fun books that we all read was comic books. And at that time, of course, there was Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy and the boys, you know. And so my father, in order to entertain me, would buy me comic books. But then he started drawing because my father was a good artist. And I'm the only child, so I had a lot of time spent at the table, the kitchen table. And I would draw, and I just fell in love with Mickey Mouse because he was easy to draw. All he is circles, you know. So, so you can draw Mickey Mouse pretty easy.
And then how did you, you know, contemplate as you told this story, sort of looking back and you say in the end notes, you know, in this first story, and you know, there's sort of inspired by Buffalo Hyde paintings, and then the next is inspired by ledger art and so on. So how did you get to that point?
Well, Herman Riddock, who was my mentor, he was the one that really inspired me, and Oscar Howe, who was a real well-known artist. They were my inspirations, and I always wanted to be Oscar Howe because he was all the things I wanted to be. He was an artist, he was a family man, and he was a professor of fine arts. That if I could achieve those three things in my life, I would be successful. Yeah. And then I met Herman Riddock, and I thought, well, wait now, if I could be a traditional person and then speak Lakota fluently, and know all about the tales that we have in our culture, maybe I'll be a successful man. So they really did it all. And then my father, he kind of pulled it all together because I learned how to draw from him.
Yeah.
And so those three people were really my inspirations. And through those stories, if you're a good illustrator, you read the story about 100 times, and then you start sketching, and you start feeling something inside you that's trying to portray those words that author's writing down.
Yeah.
You try to showcase those words into a picture. And the last one, especially on this right here, is Muskrat and Skunk, and he's a wild boy. It's something that's probably like Kenny was just here a little while ago, and he's a fiddle player. Well, this guy plays the drum, so I really got this. And then Skunk shows up too, and they both start beating in a hollow log, and eventually they get a rhythm going, which is the heartbeat of Mother Earth, who is the essence of our drum, and then that is powwows and other things grow from that. So
second graders must love this story in particular, and if you haven't read this story, you know, the animals come, and it really, by the end, they're dancing on their hind legs, and you know the buffalo's having a hard time because he's really not built, you know, for this.
Right.
And he's silly and wonderful and joyful. All these things are happening at once.
Yeah.
What has some of the response been from those kids,
you know,
especially
when
about this story?
Yeah, when I read the story to them, it's like boom, 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 bam, 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 bang, bang, bang. It's sound effects.
Nice.
And so I let the children, since they're really bold on this page, I let the children say those words as I'm reading. And a lot of them get caught up, and they, I'll have boom, boom, boom four times, and they'll go boom, 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 boom. And I go, wait, now hold up, back up. You know, there's only four boom booms, you know. And they just relate to it so much, you know, right. Because they can dance with it, you know, because right. There's dance and there's noise, and you can be wild and crazy. But there's also a part in the story too where Bear, they wake up Bear from so much noise, and he's taking a nap, and he comes out, and of course Bear's big, and he chases them all away,
yeah.
Because they see him and they run away. But then Bear comes out and he's dancing. He's standing upright, bold, and he's just taking yeah. care of the rhythm. And they all come back and rejoin him.
Yeah.
So in that essence, what it's saying is that Bear is our elders. Bear is our leader of our grand entries to our powwows.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other people behind are the various ones, the traditional dancers, the fancy dancers, the shawl dancers. They're all behind Bear, because the safest place to be is behind Bear, not in front of a Bear. And, but that translates into how yeah. we do our grand entries into the powwow.
There are so many children who this will be their first Lakota story, the first time they hear the word Lakota, the first time they realize there's a language, the first time they maybe don't know what a powwow is. Maybe if they heard the drum,
mm-hmm.
they would have a connection to it. That's a pretty powerful thing for the one book, South Dakota.
Yeah. What's really nice about this, too, in 5 days, is the powwow is going to be in right here at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center in Rapid City, South Dakota. So it's really kind of a nicely timed
right.
event with the Black Hills Book Festival.
Uh-huh.
You know, 4 days later, bang, here's the Black Hills powwow. And I've told them about the book and everything. So the transition would be wonderful for them to actually come down and see the powwow.
Right.
And then here in the Lakota, in my presentations, they really have a real nice feel of a culture that's not theirs. But it's not Hollywood either. It's not scary. It's friendly. Right. It's something that's really going to let them enjoy
yeah.
another culture.
Your neighbor. The kid
yeah.
in your class, the kid sitting
yeah.
next to you that
yeah.
you know, you don't know that they're a dancer,
right.
for
oh,
example.
Yeah.
Talk about those kids a little
oh,
bit,
yeah.
those kids who are, you know, are going to the powwow, are dancers,
yeah.
or are, you know, are that's part of their life. And
yeah.
now all of a sudden this book
mm-hmm.
is held up as this is what we're all reading together.
Yeah.
It's that important.
Yeah.
It's that celebrated.
Well, last week I just did a presentation on Thursday at the Red Cloud School to kindergarten, second, third, and fourth graders. And I said, are there any dancers here? And they raised their hands. And I said, well, what do you dance? And they said, well, I'm a grass dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fancy dancer. You know. And of course, they're young, so they got good joints. So
right.
they're all those real fancy. But it was really cool because after I presented to them, and they had Lakota speakers there, and they helped me out with the book. But at the end of the presentation, the third graders, they sang me an honoring song in Lakota.
Really?
And that topped my day. I mean, that was the cool day today. So I thought, well, that's the top. And this morning I presented to third graders at the high school in their performance theater. And here Whitney Rainconner was there, and he sang me an honoring song, and they gave me a blanket. So again, the culture is so sweet and so... It's once you get to know it, it's such a rich culture, and it's so easy to get to know because we welcome. That's what the powwow is. It's a welcoming of our neighbors and our friends to come and enjoy dancing and playing with us.
Yeah.
That's what the powwow is.
How much has it changed since you were a child?
Well, it's a pride. You know, now the children who are in schools have a pride to be a Native American. When I was in school, it was kind of like, man, I don't want to tell anybody I'm a Native American because everybody will talk bad about you and they'll make fun of you, only because of the Hollywood scenes that was happening.
Right.
Every time Hollywood would do a movie, the Indian was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bloodthirsty, screaming, scalp him, you know, and just totally bad. But today, now, what we're learning now is a lot about our culture, a lot about the richness of how the Native American lived here in this country and how this country was our country first.
Mm. It matters so much, those representations.
Oh, yeah.
Don Montalo, you've just always been one of my favorite artists and illustrators, and we've never met in person, but I've been a fan for such a long time. So thank you, with, you know, such a full day that you're everywhere and you made time for us, and we really appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you for having me, too. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.